our planet is misnamed. With 71% of it underwater, what we call Earth is really a water planet. For us Earthlings, who can only thrive on land, that's a problem, one compounded by our inability to live where it's too cold, hot, dry, or wet for us. Like Goldilocks and her porridge, humans only want things just right. Well, those just right conditions are limited on this blue planet. The amount of land on which humans secure a livelihood adds up to a mere 10% of the Earth's surface. Many believe our growing species needs more land to live, farm, and survive. One way is to coax that arable land from Earth's lapping lakes and vast oceans. In fact, we've been doing just that kind of geoengineering for a very long time. With dredged sand, rock, and aggregates by the millions of tons, our species has been creating artificial islands for centuries. The fabled floating city of Tenochtitlan was an island built by the once mighty Aztec people in the middle of a lake in what is now Mexico City. More than five centuries ago, farmers worked it into fertile ground and grew crops to feed a burgeoning population. Over the ensuing centuries, the Aztecs expanded their capital, adding new artificial islands connected by canals. Today, Mexico City is the largest in the Western Hemisphere, a megalopolis of 21 million people that began as a man-made island. Evidence of early island building can also be found in the Old World. Archaeologists believe the bushy ridges of land in Scottish and Irish lochs are islands built by wealthy lords to protect their possessions from thieves. Perhaps the most famous artificial islands are the Palm Islands of Dubai. Made from reclaimed coastal sand, they were shaped to look like the fronds of a palm tree when seen from space. The island resort added 40 miles to Dubai's coastline and 60,000 new residents. More fanciful still is the man-made archipelago of 300 white sand islets called World Islands, also in the United Arab Emirates. From high above, they resemble a world map. Named after the nations of the world, each island is for sale. Right now, Italy is available, but Lebanon Island is occupied. In addition to expanding living space and arable land, island building can be used for political gain. China's recent aggressive move into an obscure group of islands in the South China Sea is one such case. By dredging, filling, and occupying an archipelago also claimed by the Philippines, Malaysia, and Vietnam, China has made geopolitical pawns of once pristine coral reefs. We will surely be hearing more about this unfortunate new use of artificial islands. And in the faraway Indian Ocean, in the Maldives, there's one island that's not like any other. Quite unlike the 27 other coral atolls that make up this island republic, Thila Fushi Island comprises 125 acres of, hold your nose, garbage. Called the Rubbish Island and growing at a pace of 11 square feet a day, this strange little outpost now boasts a population of 150, all engaged in salvaging what they can from a toxic accretion that includes used batteries, e-waste, asbestos, and lead. And there you have it. We create islands for good and bad purposes, but none can change the immutable fact that our water planet is finite. Our ultimate success will depend on our ability to be its stewards, not merely its consumers. You can learn more about the odd story of Rubbish Island at aqua.org/ablueview. A Blue View is produced for WYPR by the National Aquarium, whose mission is to inspire conservation of the world's aquatic treasures. For the National Aquarium, I'm John Racanelli.